All right. Thank you for being here. Today I'm going to talk about some research that I've been doing over the past year and looking at iron oxides or circumneutral pH iron oxides that were created or produced via neutrophilic iron oxidizing bacteria. And my title is Elucidating the Structure and Reactivity of Bacteriogenic Iron Oxides to Better Understand Contaminant Cycling. First, I need to give a little bit of background over iron 3 oxyhydroxides. They are an environmentally ubiquitous mineral, usually occurring as a ferrihydrite. They are poorly crystalline with a high specific surface area, and they have a high affinity for contaminants such as toxic metals, organic matter, and oxyanions. And they are precursors to more crystalline minerals such as goethite and hematite. And they play a major role in contaminant dynamics, especially in natural and engineering systems. It's long been known that the iron 3 biominerals can form under acidic environments such as acid mine drainage via acidophilic bacteria such as ferrioxidants. And the cool or interesting thing about the iron oxides that I study is that they form at circumneutral pH via neutrophilic iron oxidizing bacteria, and of which at circumneutral pH, it was long thought that oxidation of iron only occurs via abiotic oxidation. And another interesting characteristic or trait of the iron 3 biominerals is that they're mixed with cell-derived organic matter. And this cell-derived organic matter contains phosphoric and carboxylic acid groups, which could alter the structure and reactivity of these biominerals. And the bottom picture, or the pictures at the bottom for the left one, I'm showing that these iron oxidizing or bacterially produced iron oxides, depending on which microbe is in the system, can produce different morphologies of iron oxides. So if you have spirodulus, you can have like twisted stalks, or if there's lepidopteryx present, the iron oxides can be stalk-like, and if it's a sideroxidants is very like spherical, like aggregates. And reactions with these biominerals can affect metal contaminant transport. And how exactly do these biominerals form? And here we just have a simple version of how these iron 2 plus gets oxidized and goes to the iron 3 mineral. But initially you have a noxic groundwater that has iron 2 plus in the system, and it's in contact with surface water where it's oxic at the top. And somewhere in the middle, there's a gradient where it's a suboxic, a seep interface where the 2 plus gets biologically oxidized to 3 plus. And in this interface, at the same time that biological oxidation is occurring, there's also reduction and abiotic oxidation. But at this suboxic zone and circumneutral pH, the iron oxidizing bacteria are able to outcompete the abiotic oxidation of the iron. Once it goes to 3 plus, it can then hydrolyze and form the iron oxyhydroxides and create the iron 3 biofilm like you see in the top left corner, or like an iron 3 kind of a mat or almost like a moss that's created with lots of organic matter. My overall approach or my PhD experiment will deal with analyzing the stream water chemistry. And when I analyze that can then tell me like how the stream water chemistry can affect the iron oxidizing bacteria present and the formation of the iron oxides. I will also be conducting column experiments so that I can scale down the environmental biological oxidation of iron. And I will be doing a gradient tube analyses where I culture the bacteria. And after I culture the bacteria, I can then do metagenomic studies and environmental shotgun sequencing, and I can then look at what type of microbes are present in the system. And I will also be doing biomineral reactivity and structure, and today I will just be talking about the biomineral structure and reactivity. For my objectives for this small portion of my research, I'll be determining the extent of copper II absorption to the environmental biogenic mineral and comparing that to synthetic two-line ferrihydrite. And I will also be identifying structural differences in the biomineral in relation to synthetic two-line ferrihydrite. In order to test these objectives. I'll be doing microscopy, or I did microscopy, absorption isotherms, and absorption rate experiments. And for the light microscopy, I just had a dilute aliquot of the iron oxide. It was pipetted onto a glass slide, and I viewed it at 40x magnification. For scanning transmission electron microscopy, I virtually the same thing. I had an aliquot that was at a concentration of 1 gram per liter, and it was then pipetted onto a gas chip, and then I viewed it at 67,000x magnification and at a pressure of 100 torr. For my isotherm and kinetics experiments, I had the pH was kept at 6.0 plus or minus 0.1. I had ionic strength of 0.01 molar sodium chloride, and my iron 3 sorbit concentration was 2.5 grams per liter. And for the absorption rates for kinetics, it was held at 1 gram per liter, and the initial copper 2 concentration ranged from 0 to 100 milligrams of copper per liter for both the synthetic and a biomineral. And for the absorption rate experiments, they're conducted at 100 milligrams of copper per liter. And isotherm equilibration time was 48 hours, and absorption rates were allowed to go to 72 hours. So let's look at some iron oxides. So these, once again, light microscopy, we're at 40x magnification. And the top left picture just shows we just have some spherical aggregates of the iron oxides. And at the bottom, if I can get this to work, we have some tubes or sheaths, which suggest that these are biogenic iron oxides and maybe even produced, like, such as the bottom one, as dielectrics. In order to get like a more in-depth view of these iron oxides, we did some transmission electron microscopy. And this picture right here is at 67,000x. And what you see is that the iron oxide has a botryoidal structure, and like each sphere is around 200, maybe a little less than 200 nanometers. And the picture on the right, we did energy dispersive spectroscopy, and it's overlain, so it's the same picture here. And then we can see that where the iron is located in the iron oxide, and then the bottom picture is just iron and oxygen overlaid, and you can see where like the oxygen delineates just the edges of the morphology or of the iron oxide. In order to determine the rate of copper 2 absorption, I did kinetic experiments for the synthetic and the environmental biomineral. For the y-axis is just absorbed copper concentration, milligrams per kilogram of solid, and on the x-axis we have just time in hours. And the main thing to get out of this is that reaction is near complete within 48 hours. It's starting to plateau out, and so we conducted our isotherms at 48 hours. Here we have the synthetic isotherm. We have, once again, the y-axis is absorbed copper in milligrams per kilogram solid, and the x-axis is dissolved copper in milligrams per liter. And there's a little bit of differences here, but overall they're pretty similar and have a Langmuir S-max of around 53 to 7200. When looking at the isotherm for the biomineral, there are some noticeable differences. However, this will probably be further explained via maybe structure using XAFs, and also I need to normalize to organic matter in this biomineral and to iron content. But overall, the Langmuir S-max was for both the June and the October biomineral that I used was very similar, from 25,000 to 26,000. And one of the cool things is this is the same four isotherms I just showed. It's overlaying on one graph, and some of the noticeable things that you see is that the affinity for copper in the biomineral was a lot higher and virtually goes straight up, and overall the biomineral absorbed around four times more copper than what the synthetic did. And these experiments were conducted over the same total copper range or copper concentration range with the same solids loading. And in order to maybe explain this, I conducted or analyzed, went to the synchrotron, and we did XIS. And here we have iron cage excess, and we have a chi spacing and R spacing on the right. We, in order to have a few iron oxide standards, we had goethite, hematite, magnetite, and ferrihydrite. And then we also analyzed the biomineral absorbed or with copper absorbed onto it, and then synthetic ferrihydrite with a copper high concentration and a copper low concentration. And the main point to get out of this is when you look at the spectra and both K spacing and R spacing, is that the biomineral looks a lot like ferrihydrite. And so the structure is very similar to ferrihydrite. However, when we look at copper XFs, we get some differences. And so what we have here is chi spacing for copper, we have R spacing for copper, my samples, and then we have some R spacing done by Moon and Peacock. And so what we see is when we have R, or look at the R spacing, the copper that was absorbed onto synthetic two-line ferrihydrite that I use has a really tall or high intensity narrow peak, which was confirmed over here. And Moon and Peacock also saw this in their data, where they had a ferrihydrite at a pH very similar to ours at 6.25, and they had a tall, narrow peak. And in their papers, they had interspheric complexation, and it looks as if that's what this is, but we'll do excess fitting to make sure of that and confirm that. But however, when you start looking at our biomineral, excuse me, you see for the low that the peak is in the same position, but the peak intensity is a lot lower and the width is wider. So this could be due to copper binding to the organic matter in the biomineral. And an interesting thing that we see is that when looking at the high concentration of copper absorbed to the biomineral, the peak increases, the intensity increases, and gets a little bit more narrow, which might indicate that the copper is binding at higher concentrations to the mineral. So that's why it looks like a combination of the copper low and the copper synthetic. In conclusion, so overall, we saw that from the light microscopy and STEM, they suggested that the iron oxidizing or the iron oxides, the biomineral that I had and analyzed, they were produced via or microbially produced. And one of the main points is that the copper was absorbed four times more by the biomineral when compared to synthetic two-line ferrihydrite. And this variation can occur due to iron and organic matter that's present in the biomineral itself. And the iron excess revealed that the biomineral was the biomineral structure resembled two-line ferrihydrite. And first shell amplitude differences suggested that copper two may be bound differently to the biominerals as compared to two-line ferrihydrite, especially at the low surface concentration. And I'd like to acknowledge my advisor, Dr. Duckworth, the soil biogeochemistry group, the soil science faculty, grad students, and the NSF. Also, SLAC for the XIS and the AIF lab. Thank you.
So we have time for one question.
Yes.
Did you measure the pH-dependent charge of your biominerals compared to the synthetic ones?
So he asked if I measured the pH-dependent charge and the difference between synthetic and the biomineral, and as of now, I have not.
You might expect them to be quite different.
Right.
Is it the point of zero charge of your biominerals probably is a lot less
right
than your synthetic one, which right affects the balance of negative and positive charge.
Right, due to the carboxylic acid and phosphor groups. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, one more question.
Yes.
Chloride.
I know that copper does do Yontelli distortion, and it may be, but as to that, I mean that's I know copper does Yontelli distortion, but
it looks like that's what's happening.
Right, and that's why it broadens out.
Yeah.